You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is with the Main Street Alliance. Delighted to have him back on the show. Sean Fetterplace is here to talk about small businesses in Wisconsin. Good morning, Sean. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Jane?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. I am curious as to what you have been hearing from Wisconsin small businesses, and we've said this a lot, that small businesses in Wisconsin really helped the state weather the after effects of COVID because Governor Evers spent a lot of attention at propping up our small businesses, and now they're dealing with all these threats of tariffs. So I'm curious what you're hearing from your members in the Main Street Alliance.
Yeah, so I mean, to take a 30,000 foot view for just 1 second, there's a Gallup poll that came out, I believe it was yesterday, that has consumer confidence worse than either COVID or the 2008 financial crisis. It is real bad. And what I've been comparing the tariffs to would be a bit like getting COVID, but you injected it into your own arm, because, you know, realistically speaking, this is a huge own goal. I mean, there's a reasonable use of tariffs for national security reasons, for industrial policy reasons, and there's legitimate abuse of our, you know, especially from China on like intellectual property and things like that. This is not dealing with that properly. And I actually am here in lovely La Crosse, Wisconsin. We had a roundtable last night with Congressman Mark Pocan. We invited Representative Derek Van Orden. There was over 300 people there, and tariffs came up a whole lot. I'm currently drinking a Wonder State coffee from Root Note, which is a coffee shop right downtown. They're members of MSA. And, you know, those businesses have very tight margins and, you know, cannot, it's very difficult for them to pass on those costs to consumer. So what I'm hearing is both A, there's a lot of uncertainty, and B, supply chains are starting to break down, and it could get real bad.
That's interesting that you say that, because this I just pulled up from a CNBC. Chinese freight ship traffic to the busiest U.S. ports see steep drops. And I saw another headline this morning that essentially said that shipping containers now are coming in empty because of these tariffs. And I would imagine that a lot of our small businesses rely on cheap products from China.
Yeah. And there's a awesome business owner in Minnesota named Beth Beneke. If any of your listeners, not to plug a competitor, but the New York Times, The Daily, had her on last week. She has a business where they produce baby products. And it's literally impossible to get the kinds of plastics and the kinds of products necessary in the U.S. And she's currently facing 145% tariff.
Oh my God.
You know, yeah. And what a lot of folks are hearing is, you know, they're talking to their suppliers, and their suppliers aren't just saying, we're going to raise your costs. They're saying, we're just not going to sell to Americans because the risk is too high that the tariffs might change. And you don't know what the tariff rate will be by the time you actually produce the product and sell it to the American business. And so now there's almost like a soft embargo starting to form. And, you know, there's some marginally encouraging signs this morning from Bessin and others, but I'll be honest with you, they need to move quick. Otherwise, this is going to be catastrophic.
Well, and to what happened with Scott Bessent this morning, President Trump yesterday was all about implying that he was going to fire Jerome Powell, who is the head of the Federal Reserve. He has since backed off on that almost completely and done a turnaround on that. And now I saw also this morning that he wants to make a deal with China, and that he's going to back off on these 125%, 145% tariffs. Whether or not that's going to happen, we'll have to wait and see. But that's what I saw crossing on some of the news sites this morning. But that's really disturbing what you said as far as suppliers saying, essentially, we can't trust your government. If I make a deal with you today for something to be delivered in 2 months, I can't trust that this deal is still going to be in place by the time I ship things to you.
That's right. And it's, I think, especially concerning because, you know, Trump likes to say that other countries have taken advantage of us. There are some abuses, but if you look at kind of like the broader economic system we have, you know, the dollar has been the reserve currency for a long time. You know, folks buy our bonds and that helps to make investments in things that we all need. You know, we benefit a lot from trade. And, you know, the thing that's interesting is that Trump seems to have this idea that if somebody buys less stuff from us than we buy from them, that that's like stealing. But I've heard kind of a funny remark, which is if like you're a YouTuber, let's say, and you go and buy coffee, but that person who sold you the coffee doesn't watch your YouTube channel, that doesn't mean they're stealing from you, right? It just means that you had a product that you wanted and gave you something, it fulfilled a need, right? And so having a trade imbalance on its own is not necessarily a negative. There needs to be, you know, obviously some steps taken to make sure we remain competitive as a country, but it really is misguided to think as, you know, trade balance as being a zero-sum game.
And that's something, Sean, that's really, for me, has been a point of confusion as far as hearing the rhetoric. When the president and everyone who supports him says, we are getting screwed over, we are being cheated and robbed, and they're making it seem like all these countries have us over a barrel, when really I know that's probably not the case. You as a business owner, you as someone from Main Street Alliance, how do you approach that conversation and say, let me tell you, and you started it right there, but like that talking about trade imbalance, because of course it's going to be a nuanced discussion. How do you approach the nuanced discussion of trade imbalance to possibly make someone go, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that business owners, if they feel comfortable doing this, should do is tell folks how much is going to increase costs. Like, how much is it going to increase costs? You know, for example, I know TJ from Wonderstate's been talking a lot about this, and his costs are going up by $300,000 a year.
Oh.
And yeah, and that's not uncommon. I heard of another member, Molly Moon Netzel, who's out in Seattle, Washington. She has Molly Moon's ice cream, yeah, which I haven't ever tried yet. I would like to get at some point, but I have had the sprinkle. She gave it as a gift to my son. But she, it's $400K for her. And this is like, that's literally the profit margin. So they become all of a sudden unprofitable. And so I think it's like making sure people understand that. And then what's a very basic thing to say, which is, if you're going to do these tariffs, you have to phase them in because you cannot build a new factory in two weeks.
Yes. Right?
And like just that very basic point needs to be made because it's on its face is pretty common sense, but it bears repeating that is part of the reason why this is so unworkable.
If you're just joining us, Sean Fetteplace is here with Main Street Alliance, just talking about what he's hearing from their various members around the state.
And I'm glad you brought that up too as well, Sean, regarding the bringing back of manufacturing in the United States. We had James Vanderloo, who's the head of OEC Milwaukee, on the show. And I just want to paraphrase something he said with us earlier when we had him on the show, I believe on Friday, was that it'd be great to bring manufacturing back to America. There are some situations where it can happen, but in the best version of that, it's going to take about 2 years.
Everything goes perfectly.
Yeah, we're talking the best situation. In the darkest timeline, if it's high tech and it needs a lot of work, you're talking 5+ years. So this notion of, you know, tariffs now to stoke the fire of manufacturing in America, boom, we've got manufacturing. That's not how it works. It's as you said, if we're going to do tariffs, we got to introduce them over time. We have to take our time, do our research, and do it, you know, strategically.
With precision, surgically.
Surgically and with strategically. I almost said strategically. Seriously. Oh, my God. Okay.
Sean, are you still with us?
I went off video because my signal wasn't being the greatest, but yeah, I mean, it really is. And generally speaking, we think that these kinds of terracing, if you phase them in, aren't the solution. But this is like the worst of all worlds. And you look at, I think it was the Wisconsin Policy Forum put out a report recently that showed our exports in Wisconsin were already declining. And I'm here in La Crosse, which is a beautiful town, but if you just go south of me, there's a lot of farms, organic valleys based there. There's a lot of small family farms in this part of the state. And what Trump has talked about doing is, he's imposing these tariffs, which are greatly hurting the farmers' export opportunities. And then they're going to bail them out with other money. And it's like, well, if you have to bail them out, doesn't that mean it's hurting them? Like, it really just on. And he did this in the first administration too. And the other thing that's really a problem with a lot of this and how it's been implemented is, you have Secretary Bessent last night or yesterday. He had like a closed door meeting with, I think, JP Morgan. It was, there was a series of bankers that he was meeting with on not private, not public information. It leaked, but he's sharing private information with these folks. You had multiple cases where, as decisions were being made, it was very clear that information got out. I don't know to who, but there was a lot of front running of those announcements and insider trading that was taking place. And if you're the Apple CEO, you should not be getting special treatment over a local small business owner.
Unfortunately, that local small business owner wasn't able to donate $1 million to the inauguration fund. Otherwise, they might get a special carve out. I understand that that has happened with some big businesses and subsequently Trump donors.
I think also it's, I totally agree with you, Sean. It's funny though that like they shouldn't be allowed to get insider information, but the people who would stop this from happening are the same people who are also benefiting from insider information and making their own wealth in our own government. So it seems like, once again, Main Street USA, hardworking folks, we're just sitting here waiting for the next shoe to drop and having to deal with it because the ones in charge think they know better. When, I mean, if you say it, you said it right on the screen on our live stream, end tariffs now, because it's really, really affecting what you and, I mean, a $300,000 price increase.
That's just joking. And the other thing too, Sean, that really stuck out with me, there are some things, no matter what we do with infrastructure, no matter what we do to support bringing back manufacturing, there are some things we cannot make here. There are some things we cannot grow here, like coffee.
That's right. And this whole situation is creating some very odd bedfellows. I've been talking to like the Cato Institute and National Review and folks who I would not have anything in common with other than this particular issue. And Cato actually came out with an analysis that showed that 80% of Americans wanted manufacturing to come back to the US, but only 20% of those people were willing to work in manufacturing. And so it's like, we need to make sure we have a smart policy and our leaders are doing what's best for the country and not just following, the next strong wind.
We're going to continue our conversation with Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can get us in New Zealand if you have
What?
the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up after the 10:30 news, as we always do, we'll lighten things up a little bit with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Little cleansing for our ears from all the politics and the heavier things. We try and lighten it up so we can all take a collective breath. After the 10:30 news, we're going to talk about what did you really, really, really want as a kid, and your parents said either you work for it or you're not getting it. This relates to something that movie star and really wealthy person Ben Affleck, a discussion he had with his, I think he's 12, his 12-year-old son about a pair of shoes. But that is coming up after the 10:30 news. I hope you will join us. We are joined right now by Sean Fataplace from Main Street Alliance, and we're talking about tariffs and what he's hearing from their members across Wisconsin small businesses. Greg, you had a question.
Yeah, so one of the things, Sean, that you sent to me in our email conversation was a Twitter link of a town hall. You mentioned it earlier before that you just had a town hall last night, over 300 people. Representative Mark Pocan, who loves town halls, loves talking to the people, was there. But unfortunately, there was one person who wasn't there. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so Representative Derek Van Orden represents the 3rd Congressional District, and he's been there for 2 cycles now, I believe, after Congressman Ron Kind, who, full disclosure, I used to work for years ago, retired. And Derek is an interesting dude. If you look at his Twitter feed, seems like he has a whole lot of time to comment on things and versus doing his job and showing up to a town hall to hear from his constituents. He received an invite quite some time ago to this town hall. We really did want for him to be there to hear from folks in his district about tariffs, about concerns about Medicaid cuts, Head Start, things to that effect. And unfortunately, he said no. He is holding a virtual town hall today, good for him, I guess, where they can vet the questions,
right,
and where they can
pre-screen everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's honestly a bit like doing theater. Like it's all pre-orchestrated and pre-planned. And so it really is unfortunate because, it has become a general trend where, members of Congress do not hold town halls. And I think it's really unfortunate because ultimately these folks work for us and they should act accordingly. So, we're going to keep on him. We're going to keep inviting him. But I was encouraged. We had over 300 folks there yesterday here in La Crosse, had a huge turnout. Senator Bernie Sanders did join via phone for a little bit. I was responsible for patching him in, which was mildly stressful at the time, but it worked out. And Mark has been great. He's been getting out there, and I know that he wants to make sure people have a voice, regardless of whether or not their member of Congress wants to show up.
Just out of curiosity, because Elon Musk just said this yesterday, that all the people who were showing up at these town halls are all getting paid, Sean. So did everyone show you their checks from George Soros? I'm just curious.
No, and I mean, that's pretty rich coming from a guy who literally gave blown up checks to folks to encourage them to vote and violated state law. Actually, Mark last night, he asked folks, where are you from? Did you get paid by George Soros to be here? And the answer was a strong no. And so it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's just, it's deflection. They can't handle the fact that Trump's approval rating is dropping like a rock right now, especially on the economy. So they want to make up any kind of excuse. But ultimately, these are regular people who want to make their voice heard in the 3rd Congressional District.
Well, and I guess I have to say the one thing that I find endlessly amusing is that Derek Van Orden presents himself as this tough former Navy SEAL. He's a fighter. He's a manly man.
Yeah.
But not when it comes to actually facing the people who he is supposed to be representing. And let's not forget, too, that Derek Van Orden represents a whole bunch of farmers.
Yes, he's on the Ag Committee.
He's on the Ag Committee, which is still, if I am correct, sitting on that farm bill.
Not happening right now. And he also, and this is just something we've seen from video, has a problem when authority confronts him. So Sean, I do not know how he would have reacted to 300 people being unhappy with him or even asking him questions. So I don't know. I don't want to say it's good he didn't show up, but that would have been, because I've seen so many videos of politicians who are just getting yelled at. But Shizu on the live stream, referring to how you described Mr. Van Norton, she said, "Interesting dude. So unnecessarily polite, Sean. So unnecessarily polite."
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I want him to show up to one
of
these.
Yes, of course.
I think, and I want him to hear from the voters. And I think ultimately, and we worked with some other great organizations, Opportunity Wisconsin, you know, folks working on healthcare and other issues. And it was really great to work collaboratively to do this. I know there was a similar event up in Eau Claire a bit ago. Representative Pocan was in Viroqua not all that long ago. And so, you know, definitely making our way all across, you know, the third congressional district, which has, it's been a little bit since I thought about it, but I think it has about 19 counties. Very widespread. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, farmers, which you spoke to, you know, if you look at the, you know, Derek Van Orden voted for the budget resolution recently that instructed the Ways and Means Committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee to cut $800 billion to pay for the tax cuts for the wealthy.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to massively cut Medicaid.
Sean, we got to go. We're just up against the clock. Sean Fedeplace with the Main Street Alliance has been our guest. Really appreciate your time, Sean. We will have you back as soon as possible.
Sounds good. Check us out at MainStreetAlliance.org.
MainStreetAlliance.org. Go to your local small businesses and spend some money. They need the help. News is coming up next. Stay here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball tonight. Brewers at San Francisco. It's kind of late because they're on the left coast. 8:10, rather, our broadcast starts. You can listen to the game over the air.
Terrestrial radio.
Old-fashioned terrestrial radio.
Get yourself a radio. If you have a porch, put it on the porch.
Yeah.
Kick back. Sit in a chair.
Rocking chair.
Some lemonade.
Nice idea.
Listen to the ball game.
You can catch the game tonight starting at 8:10 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH in Hayward. Crew tonight at San Francisco. Our broadcast begins at 8:10. This is the segment that has developed into...
Yeah.
It's become kind of a regular thing.
We love it.
We do love it.
People love it.
We call it Audio Sorbet.
Ooh, we need robes. Jane, we need robes.
We need robes?
Robes. Like when we do this segment, we should be in like spa robes.
Oh, yes.
And just like have.
Kicking back a little bit.
Maybe Calvin can like.
Slippers.
Like retreat from the board and just, you know, fan us with a giant leaf.
I like the idea of Calvin.
Calvin, you down for that? Calvin says yes.
Sure, Calvin says yes. So here's the question for today, and this all stems from actor Ben Affleck, who was on the Today Show recently, and apparently he had a photo with his son that kind of went viral.
A video, I believe.
A video.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Ben Affleck and his son checking out some very, very fancy footwear.
Yeah.
And he has this little segment we're going to play from the Today Show. Calvin, if you can play that clip, please.
We were talking in the makeup room before the show about this clip that went viral of you with your son. And he was obsessed with this. Looking at these sneakers, which were an absurdly high price, and he wanted them. And you had the best line, which I plan to use, which is,
I'm rich, you're not.
He was like, yeah, because he wanted these shoes. He's like, so see these sneakers. I was like, this sneaker was $6,000. What are you talking about? Wow. We're going to pay, like, buy. What, I was going to, what are you going to do? Mow lawns? Like, you got $6,000? Right. He's like, we have the money. I was like, I have the money. You're broke.
So his 11-year-old son wants these $6,000 shoes and says, Dad, we're rich. And Dad says, no, I'm rich.
Yeah.
You're not rich. So we started talking about something we really, really, really wanted as kids.
Yeah.
And mom and dad said, you either work for it or you're not getting it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, also, you ain't going to stay rich buying $6,000 shoes.
No, you're not. 855-752-4842. What was the thing that you wanted when you were a kid? Grade school, high school, what was it? Kind of out of reach. And mom and dad said, if you can work for it, you can have it. But otherwise, no, I'm not buying you $6,000 sneakers. Nice try.
Actually, my story is not the exact same. I didn't ask for $6,000. Back in 1980s, whenever, $6,000 sneakers did not exist.
Yeah, right.
But I am a child of the 80s and 90s when I was young and played basketball. And I came up just as the Air Jordans came to light.
Which were very expensive for the time.
$100 pair of shoes. Yep. Unheard of before this. You didn't have $100 pairs of shoes. Sneakers. I mean, if you had fancy shoes, you could.
Well, dress shoes for men, maybe.
But a pair of Nikes didn't cost $100. And I didn't want the Air Jordans. I wanted a shoe called the Reebok Pump.
Was that with a...
Yeah, very, very gimmicky. I still can't believe. But they were about $100 as well. And I was a paper boy. And my mom said, all right, we'll set up a budget. You will work so many weeks. You will take so much of your paycheck and we'll put that into a fund for your shoes.
Cool.
And what was funny is I said, okay. And I totally forgot about it. And one day my mom goes, hey, guess what? I said, what? She goes, you can get your shoes now. And it was like, and the thing is, I worked for it. It was my money.
Right.
Because I've been working since I was 12. It was my money. It was my achievement. And I felt so good buying them because it was like, now granted, a kid loves to open up Christmas present or birthday present, get what you want. I'm not taking that away from you. But the fact that I put myself into a budget system, I made a plan, and then I bought the shoes, it was an achievement from start to finish.
And taught you a really valuable lesson.
Absolutely, which I totally forgot of my 20s. credit card.
Well, that's a whole nother segment. 855-752-4842. What was the thing you really, really, really wanted when you were a kid or a teenager, and mom and dad said, yeah, sure, if you work for it, otherwise it's not happening. What is your thing? 855-75-CIVIC.
Shizu on the live stream says, for me, it was graphic novels, i.e. manga. My parents didn't consider them books. Still collecting to this day, and I have about 3,000.
Wow.
That's a $30,000 investment.
Wow.
Some of those, I mean, if you know what you're doing and you collect them correctly, and by that I mean like bag them, board. Now with graphic novels,
they have to be pristine, right?
Take care of them. You can make a lot of money on certain books. And yeah, that is an absolute investment. For me, I love comic books, but I just don't want them in my house. So I have a digital subscription. So I'm like, this is easier.
Calvin, what about you? Was there something that you really, really wanted as a kid and mom and dad said, yeah, no?
Yeah, so a lot of things, I was pretty low maintenance as far as like expensive
shocking
expensive clothes and expensive shoes and like that kind of stuff. But me and my brother both played video games growing up, and we would always ask for consoles like in June, and then they'd tell us we could buy it ourselves, but we were 12, didn't really have money to save, and then eventually it would show up under the Christmas tree on Christmas.
So you did have to wait for it, at least.
We had to wait for it. And we had like just regular like minor chores, but we didn't really get allowances. Most of our things were you can have money if you absolutely need it, or you can get a big present on Christmas or your birthday.
Fair enough.
I want to go back to the question that Jane asked you before the show when we were kicking this around, when you said, did you have chores? You said, my dad wished we would add more, but just imagine Mr. Butenhoff being like, these kids play a lot of video games.
855-752-4842. What was the thing you really, really, really wanted when you were a kid or a teenager and your parents said, sure, you can have it if you work for it?
Yep.
What was your thing? Ann from Chippewa Falls is on the line and joining us. Good morning, Ann. What was your thing?
Good morning. Well, we had six kids in our family, and one Christmas I asked my dad if I could get a Guess sweatshirt.
Oh.
And when it was like $50, whatever they were then. He's like, I don't think so. He goes, I'll buy you a sweatshirt and I'll get some spray paint and we'll put Guess on. And I never that again.
I feel like that was always the parents' fix. They're like, I'll make it for you or I'll just make it myself. You're like, that's, you don't, all right.
But there was a label thing, right? And all the cool kids had the Guess sweatshirt, I assume.
Yep. Yes, and I was not getting one because I thought, I'm not going to have my dad spray paint Guess on a sweatshirt.
As I said, I grew up in the early 90s, there was a line of clothing, IOU sweatshirts that all the kids in middle school and high school had, and Z Cavarici pants and things. Yeah, I know. And there was the Varnay label as well. And I always told people you could tell if you could tell that it was out of fashion when I started wearing it, because it started to appear in the bargain barrels where you're like, oh, the $30 Varnay t-shirt is now $15. We can
Greg's
afford that
got
now.
It. Yep. Yeah, Greg's got it now. My thing was Chick jeans specifically. They were kind of like a step under Gloria Vanderbilt jeans, which I couldn't get either. But all the cool girls in high school had Chick jeans.
Yeah.
And my mother was like, I'm not buying you. Then they were probably $25. Yeah. You're not getting $25 jeans. Go to Penny's.
Were they the same as, was it Sassoon?
No.
No, that's Vidal Sassoon.
No, Vidal Sassoon. Chick jeans were the cool girl jeans, which I never got. And I worked. I don't remember. She must have said, if you save up for it, you can have them. But then I decided it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
What is your thing that you wanted as a kid and your parents said, you can have it if you work for it? This all jumps off of Ben Affleck on the Today Show talking about his son, who's about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Who wanted a pair of $6,000 sneakers. And he said, but Dad, we're rich. And Ben Affleck said, no, I'm rich. You're broke.
Had I said that to my father, I would have immediately braced, been like, oh God.
If you said we're rich.
No, Jane, I'm talking about the request of just
$6,000.
If I would have had the temerity to say we're rich, I would have just been like, I'm getting my own apartment now. I just got kicked out.
Let me duck.
Yeah, exactly.
855-752-4842. Megan from Sun Prairie listening on WMDX. I can't remember if I ever asked them for it, but I wanted a TV in my room for my Xbox. So I bought one during a Black Friday sale at 17. I was terrible at asking for things growing up because I felt bad doing so. It's that guilt. You're being ungrateful. You want more than you should have.
Yeah, and also it's just like, yeah, something similar, Megan, only I didn't go to a Black Friday. There was a TV in the house that wasn't being used that barely worked. They're like, you want a TV in your room? You can have that one. It was like color sometimes, and I just wanted to play my Nintendo. I just wanted to play my NES, my classic NES in there. And I was like, I got a TV in my room. That excitement lasted 39 minutes. It was done.
That was it.
Yeah, because it's like you don't have a TV in your room. You have a computer monitor, essentially.
Calvin?
Yeah, I know when I was 16, fights over the PlayStation were growing between me and my brother, and my mom did draw a line that she was not buying a second PlayStation. If I wanted my own PlayStation, I had to buy it myself. So the first $400 I made of my very first job went to my own PlayStation.
Oh, wow. Yes. $400.
Yeah, oh, that's how much they were.
How much are they now, Calvin? How much is a PS5?
A PS5 will run you $500, I think. Maybe $600. I don't even remember.
What were you doing that you earned $400?
I started like bussing tables and running food at a nursing home.
Did you immediately quit your job the minute you got that $400 check? You're like, I'm out of here.
I'm done.
No, I worked there until it got too hectic with playing basketball and trying to have a job at the same time.
Wow. Okay.
It was like 6 or 7 months that
those
I
worked little bits
there.
Of Calvin we learned about. I love it.
Absolutely. What did you really, really, really want when you were a kid or a teenager and mom and dad said, yeah, you know, you're not getting that unless you get a job or you earn it? 855-752-4842. For me, again, it was the chick jeans, which I never got.
I was looking up some old brands. Jordache.
Jordache were
it was
cool too.
Sasson jeans. Yes. Sasson jeans.
Oh,
yeah, those were hilarious.
And all the cool girls had them.
Yeah.
I was not one of them.
Cool in my heart, Jane.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the This Rounds on Me edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Quick story before we came back from the break, I had a minor sinus procedure last week. So I have some aftercare, and one of the parts of the aftercare, you're on the live stream. I use a saline nasal spray 1 to 2 times an hour to keep the nasal passages moist.
Nice.
Sorry.
And clear.
I
and
said
clear.
It.
That's all right.
I missed my nose completely and just shot it right in my eye. And like, I felt
right
like
right as we were coming
yeah,
back on
just
here.
Felt like a complete moron. So
you're okay now.
I'm great. My eye is nice and moist.
And so now we know saline is fine. If you end up shooting it in your eye,
yeah.
You should be all
oh
right.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, good. It is just about 11:54. We better get going. Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. This one from UPI. Calvin found it again. Ben Hooper is our guy.
He's the guy.
He is the man for Tisbets. The headline reads, Party Animals. Chimpanzees caught on camera sharing alcoholic fruit. A team of British researchers studying chimpanzees in West Africa say they have documented the chimps eating and sharing alcoholic fruit. The University of Exeter team set up their cameras and captured the chimps sharing fermented African breadfruit, which was later confirmed to contain ethanol. The team's study suggests the chimps could be using it for a similar person as humans who drink. Quote, for humans, we know that drinking alcohol leads to a release of dopamine and endorphins and resulting feelings of happiness and relaxation. We also know that sharing alcohol, including through traditions like feasting, helps to form and strengthen social bonds. So now we know that wild chimps are eating and sharing ethanolic fruits. The question is, are they getting similar benefits? Unquote.
I don't know. You have to watch and make sure. Are they like looking at each other to say as if as if they were saying, I love you, man. You're really cool. I don't say that enough because I was taught not to feel my feelings, but you're awesome.
The other way to tell for sure that it's having the same effect is if they regret it in the morning.
Yeah, make sure. Are they texting their exes at night?
I really didn't mean to say that.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't. That was a mistake.
This all started as some fruit brunch and it got crazy.
I hope you can forgive me.
Please.
Chimps don't share food all the time, says researcher Kimberly Hawkins. So this behavior with fermented fruit might be important. We need to find out more about whether they are deliberately seeking these out. But this behavior could be the early evolutionary stages of feasting.
Oh.
If so, this suggests the human tradition of feasting may have its origins deep in our evolutionary history. So party, we've been partying for a long time.
Don't tell my uncle that because he doesn't believe in evolution.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, we have a jam-packed show for you. Jim Santel will be here, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review. You can catch his show across the network Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. He is a brilliant attorney. Many, many things going on.
Yeah.
We need to update with Jim Santel. Then State Representative Lee Snodgrass is going to be joining us in hour number two. Brittany Merlot will be here, as she always is, with weather and wine in hour number two. And then Paul Noonan, who joins us every other Thursday. He and J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel take turns off and on to update us all things sports. And the draft gets underway.
The draft gets underway tomorrow. I also want to throw in a quick plug for Dr. Kristen Lierley's show that is on Saturdays and Sundays. You can go to civicmedia.us/shows and find her show as well. I always look at it this way. You can have Saturday with a lawyer, Sunday with a doctor.
Nice.
And they're talking about great topics. I mean, Jim Santel's show is like mini law school.
But in a way that's really understandable.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I just think that's important. It's not like you're going to be... You're not sitting in class and you're listening to some boring guy drone. Jim has a way of breaking things down because the law is complicated.
The law is complicated and he finds it joyful to explain it and talk about it. It's important.
It is important, especially with so many things that are going on right now. So, and if you ever have a question for Jim, you can send it in to us at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you have a guest idea, if you have something going on in your community, something specific to Chippewa Falls or Park Falls or Butternut, for example.
Butternut.
You can always email that to us, too, and we would love to take a look at it. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It truly does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Pete Schwab and Nightlight wrapping it all up from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.